Amen. Y'all get ready. Y'all ready? I'm ready. Amen. I thought what a privilege it is. I get to stand in front of this crowd and deliver the message of God this morning. I'll tell you right up front, I preached part of this Wednesday night, and I'm going to tell you it laid so heavy and powerful on me, I just ain't done with it yet. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to try to finish this tonight. It's about encouragement. It's about uplifting. It's about support of the family and the brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, when I think about the privilege that I have just to deliver the message that God sends this way, He sent it to you. You know, He sends it to each and every one of you. And somebody says, well, how do you know this part will be that? I don't know what part's for who, but I guarantee you God's got something for everybody in here if you'll listen and be obedient to the Word of God. A few things I want to start out with and think about. You know, we see all the problems and trouble. You know, we've already had a special prayer for special people this morning. You know, started out before Sunday school that we were praying for parts of our body, which is the body of Christ, the church. You know, we were praying for them. And I got thinking about all the problems and all the troubles that come up on that we have to deal with and contend with all the time. Well, you know, I thought about Job chapter 14, verse 1. It was very plain spoken. It said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And so, you know, if I want you to think about, sometimes we seem so shocked and so surprised about trouble and problems coming. Well, we know that according to the Word of God, it said few days and full of trouble. So we're going to have to deal with these things. And I'm not going to tell you that there's not going to be trouble or problems or sickness in your life, but I'm going to tell you that you've got a God to help you deal with them. And so that's the focus we want to look to this morning. Focus on about what God can do and what God can, how He can help you through each and every situation that you might face. In St. John chapter 14, verse 1, it said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. And so we come down to this verse, you know, let not your heart be troubled. And I think often how many times, you know, that's a hard thing to do. Let not your heart be troubled. I saw tears this morning in the church. I guarantee I'll see tears before the church is over today about people have a troubled heart. And I know it's a hard thing to do, but when we start trusting and be obedient to what God asks us to do, He can help us through every situation that we might face. You know, there's a lot of things bring trouble in our life. And let's cover a couple of them. I'll just be very quick in this. A couple of them I want to cover about what can bring trouble in your life. If you'll turn with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We know all through the Old Testament. You know, we get this. All through the Old Testament. God's children that He had blessed in so many ways and helped so in so many times. Give them just a short time and they'll turn away from the Lord. They'll go to whoring after other gods. They'll be chasing something wrong. And all of a sudden they got trouble in their life. And you know, after reading the Old Testament, I'm sometimes prone to think, well, all trouble that comes is of somebody's disobedience. That's not quite the point. I'll give you the second way that trouble comes. But Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26. Let's start in 23. Let's just get all that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Now, I want you to understand, you know, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, after you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you sin willfully, there's going to be a payment for it. There's going to be a payment for that. We have to look at these things, you know. And then over in verse 38 and 39, same chapter, it said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You know, there's a lot of discussion goes on in the community and a lot of churches about if you sin, you know, you could lose your salvation. Well, according to this word of God, we're not of them that draw back under perdition, but we believe in the saving of the soul. All right, your soul's saved and you're going to go to heaven. Then where's the punishment at? It's not loss of a soul, it'll be flesh. There'll be trouble in the flesh. I'm talking about, we don't believe in losing your soul. Once you're saved, I believe you're saved for an eternity. Amen. And so you get out and sin willfully, you're not going to lose your soul, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to make a payment in the flesh. In chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll start in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, unto children, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Notice this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so we're looking at the situation that sometimes, because of willful sin in our life, we're going to be chastened by God. Amen. There's going to be a chastening by God. How can he accomplish this? He can do anything he wants. He can take your health. He can take your children. He can take your job. He can take your wealth. He can take anything he wants to take. It's God's discretion on how he handles these things. And so, you know, our prayer needs to be, say, Lord, be lenient. And so when we start looking at these, in verse 7 it said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? And you know, it relates this to a father and son deal, which we are in that same situation, father and son. We're children of God. Verse 8 it said, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all your partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. Now, does that stand pretty clear? If you can willfully sin and God don't deal with you, you're not a son to start with. You look around this community, you think, well, how do they get by with it? How do they get by with this? How do they get by with that? They're not sons and daughters of God. God don't chastise them because they're not his son. They're not his. He chastises his own. It said, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? You know, we ought to rejoice in the fact that we're a child of God and he's correcting us. He's chastising us that we might be a better Christian, a better person. Verse 10, for they barely for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. He does it for your improvement. You've been chastised by the Lord. He did it for your improvement. It's not because he enjoyed beating up on you. It's not because he had pleasure in it. But it's because he wanted to improve your situation in your life. Now that's the situation we have to face. Sometimes hardship, troubles, and problems come in our life because of willful sin. Willful sin. That's sometimes. But you know, most times that's the first thing we'll think. Well, it's because of this, because of that. Let's look over, if you will, St. John. I think it's chapter 9. St. John chapter 9. All right, you got that one. Sometimes we're chastised. Sometimes trouble comes in our life because of willful sin. Amen. Said there's no more sacrifice to be made for it, so something's got to pay for it. I mean, your sins before your salvation, Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary. Amen. But after that sacrifice, then sometimes we're going to have to pay for our own sin. And so this is where we get us to. In St. John chapter 9 and verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, that's a pretty good question. I guess I could think the same thing. If you read in the Old Testament, the reason they was always carried away or captive or whatever problem came was because of sin. And sometimes in our mind, that's what we always think. Well, so-and-so's got cancer. They must have sinned. So-and-so sick with this, they must have sinned. They had a car wreck, they must have sinned. That's not always the case. Now, sometimes it is. And now God's not changing his word. He's just showing you two situations that can bring this. When they ask him about who did sin, this man or his parents, that he's born blind. In verse 3, Jesus answered, said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I'm telling you, there's times we suffer through trouble and problems and turmoil of this world that it's for the benefit of God. It's that he might be manifest and his works be made manifest, that God might be glorified. That whatever we're going through, we have the help of God. So when we start thinking about this, there's times and situations people are going to go through hardships, trouble, trial, sicknesses, and it's for that the works of God may be made manifest. So we got two situations there. There's others. Then I think about how we handle different situations. I think not going through it is as much as how we handle it. It's what people around us see. You know it? That's what they see. I want to look over back in Old Testament just for a few minutes. 1 Kings. Y'all turn over with me. 1 Kings. Let's talk about a problem. Let's talk about how different people in God's word handle problems. Now, I think this is coming and being preached to somebody here to let you know how you're to handle a problem. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, we're going to find Elijah. You know, he just saw a great, powerful work of God. They defeated the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, some 850. He had saw the sacrifice consumed by the power of God. He had saw all these things, and all of a sudden he finds himself discouraged. And in verse 4, 1 Kings 19, verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. And you know, after seeing all this power and demonstration of God's power and all these things he saw accomplished, all of a sudden he got discouraged. He found himself down under the juniper tree having a pity party. I'm talking about just swept out of spot, and he's sitting down there feeling sorry for himself. You know, that's something that can happen to Christians. I go through it myself sometimes, but that's not where God wants you to stay. Now, this is the way he's handling it. And I want to say this, Elijah, nothing had happened to him. It was just a threat of something that might happen. It's because Jezebel said, I'm going to take your life. Hadn't done it yet. And he's down there having a pity party because of something that was said that might happen. Might happen. How many of us today are worried about something that might happen down the road? Next week or what it might happen here. I'm going to tell you, just live for the day and enjoy what you got. Enjoy today. You know, we won't worry about what might happen tomorrow. The scripture said today is sufficient in itself. Amen. But here's Elijah sitting down under the juniper tree. He's having a pity party. He's feeling sorry for himself just because of what one woman said. Who's she to think she can say something to overcome the power of God? But it bothered him. It's not unusual to get bothered this day and time, is it? If everybody tell the truth, you'd probably stand up and say, well, I've got this concern, I've got that concern. You probably wouldn't say I'm worried, because worry is a lack of faith. And everybody wants you to, you know, you want everybody to think, I've got faith. I don't worry about that. Some of us got forked tongues too. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Y'all got that, didn't you? In verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now you see the situation. Elijah's down on the juniper tree. He's having a pity party. He's down there requesting himself to die. What does God do? He sends an angel to get him up. Amen. What does he tell him to do? He said, rise and eat. He said, get up, you know. And the angel touched him and said, rise and eat. He wanted him to get up. Now, if you get depressed and discouraged about something in this life, it's God's will that you get over it and get up. I'm giving some of you one day, and then I want you to get over it and get up. That's what God's going to give you. He's going to touch you. He's going to raise you up. He don't want you to stay discouraged and depressed. In verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. God knew what he needed to survive and go through this trouble, this threat that he had. In verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And so here he is. How's he handling his problems? He gets discouraged. He gets out of heart. He starts having a pity party. And what does God do? God gets him up. God raises him to his feet and said, get up, stand up and eat. Get on about your business. Don't worry about what might be or what might happen. In verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, I thought about what God spoke to him. He said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, this is not what I want for you. I've got better in store. He said, what are you doing hiding out down here in the cave? I believe God's speaking to somebody today and tell you to get up, get on with life, get out of your cave, quit hiding, and listen for God to speak to you. Verse 10, and he said, I have been very zealous of thee, Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel, they have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left and seek my life to take it away. He thought he was in this thing by himself. You see what he's talking about? He actually thought he was in this thing by himself. Who was talking to him? God. I'm telling you, you may be facing a problem today that you think, I'm in this thing by myself. If you're a child of God, you'll never be alone. Somebody's in it with you right now. You know what his name is? It's God. It's Jehovah. It's Jesus. They're all in this problem with you. You're in nothing by yourself. I'm going to tell you, you may not have a plan, but they have. In verse 11, and this is God, he said, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after a fire a still small voice. He did this wind. I believe he did this earthquake. I believe he did this rock breaking, all to get Elijah's attention. And the Lord wasn't in any of that. He was just getting your attention. But then he spoke to you in a small, still voice. I believe God sent me here this morning that I get your attention, that you get focused, but God's going to speak to you in a still, small voice. He's going to let you know, hey, you're not in this thing by yourself. You got the most powerful thing that's ever been or ever will be behind you. And with you each and every day. Another example I'm just thinking about. In the book of Job. Amen. I'm not going to turn there. I'll just talk to you about this. In the book of Job. I'm going to tell you. Job had some problems, didn't he? Job had some problems. You know, we've read that book. And I've read about all the problems he had. Job lost his children. Job lost his flocks. Job lost his health. And Job lost his wealth. Amen. Job didn't have much left. He lost his friends. They'd all turned against him. And I thought about all these things happening to Job. When he lost his children, guess what? He drew closer to God. When he lost his flocks, guess what? He drew closer to God. When he lost his health, he drew closer to God. When he lost all of his wealth, he drew closer to God. Now that's to show us how to handle problems. He had problems. He showed us just draw closer to God. Never one time did he have in mind to turn away. He never one time had in mind to quit God, because he knew God was the only hope he had. There was no other hope but God that Job could get these things turned around and work for the benefit of Job. So if you had a little problem and turned away from God, you've done made a mistake. I'm telling you, you're out on it on your own. God's trying to help. All you got to do is let him help. Now here's Job, and he had all these problems. Then none of us went through what Job went through. Not one time did he turn away from God. He turned to him every time. He got closer because he knew God's power and through God was the only hope he had to have these things restored. There ought to have been somebody up shouting amen. You know what? Praise the Lord. Y'all are a calm bunch. I will be as soon as I finish what I got to preach. God sent the message this morning. I'm just a privilege to have be the carrier that brought it. Just a privilege. Now you think about Job. Never lost sight of these things. If you read the end of Job, everything came back to him. And one person said, well, he didn't get his children back. He never lost his children. They just went to heaven waiting on him. Praise God, they're still up there. They went to heaven waiting on him. I want to look a little bit farther at this. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'll start in verse 24. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And so it's talking about hope and talking about waiting for it. Said sometimes, you know, we can't see the hope, but we hope for it and we wait for it. In verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I need a lot of help in my prayer life sometimes, don't y'all? Y'all ever need help in your prayer life? You know, I saw a sign the other day saying it's hard to pray, just pray harder. And I thought, praise the Lord, that's pretty much life. Right, but I think about the help I need sometimes in my prayer life. There's times in life that I've prayed amiss or I've prayed out of the will of God. Y'all all looking up here at me. I've prayed a lot of prayers for somebody to be healed and live and they died. You know why? Because it wasn't God's will. It was my will. It's what I wanted to happen. It's what I wanted to see. But God don't always answer our wants and what we want. I'm telling you. Now, y'all all looked at me strange. Now, my pastor's saying sometimes he prays out of the will of God. And you do too. Amen. Because we don't always know what we ought to pray for. And that's why we have this Spirit intercessor helping us. I believe there's a lot of times I've prayed a prayer and, you know, it comes up to this and I think about this when it talks about the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You know, when we've got it wrong, they make it right. I believe I've prayed a lot of prayers and that Spirit hears it and then he adjusts it and repeats it to the Lord Jesus. Amen? So we've got a help that we can pray right even when we're wrong. You think God's not great? You think God's not good to us? Here we go. And verse 27, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so we have this power and we have this hope and we have this opportunity. We're going to pray and this Spirit of God, it said God knows the mind of the Spirit and he maketh intercessions according to the will of God. And so we're praying and it's going in God's will. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good. There's times in life I struggle to see the good. You know, but God said it's going to be good, so it's going to be good, whether I see it or not. You know, I can go out on a cloudy day, I can't see the sun, but praise God, it's up there shining. And just because I can't see it don't mean it's not there. Now, the same situation in this, you know, just because we don't see the good in it, sometimes that don't matter because our eyes don't see what God sees. You know, God sees the future. We see tomorrow, maybe. We see now, the present. But you get thinking about this. Just because you don't see the good don't mean it's not good. You think, how could that be good? For the honor and glory of God. It goes farther. It said, work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. I like this. He said, them who are called according to His purpose. And so when you start thinking about purpose in life, God's purpose for our lives is that we enjoy ourselves, we live our life, we worship, we praise Him. That's what we're created to do. And so when we come down to that point, we start about these things. Then down at verse 31, it's very plain. It said, what shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I'm telling you, that's one of the greatest verses I could preach to you this morning, that if God be for us, who can be against us? That'll take the worry out of a lot of you. That'll take the worry out of a lot of lives around here. And so we understand and see that not only God helps us in our prayer life, we may not always see the good, but it's always good. Just because you don't see it, don't matter to God, it's still good. Let's go back over to St. John chapter 14. Now all these things we're talking about is the children of God. I ain't got to the lost yet, but I'm going to preach to them too. That if you're lost and undone without Jesus, your Savior, a lot of this don't even apply to you. You got trouble, suffer through it. You ain't got God. Y'all ever wondered, I don't know if y'all do or not, I do a lot of times, they'll call me to do a funeral. I go down and some loved ones passed away, laid out in a casket. All these people gathered around, family and all, and they crying, they carrying on. They don't know the Lord. You know, you try to ask and find out. I always like to know if somebody was right with God or not before I preach a funeral because it controls what I say. If they didn't leave evidence of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, I don't preach them to heaven because I can't. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I might say we serve a just God that gave them an opportunity, but I ain't going no farther than that. If that hurts the family's feeling, but I see all these tears being shed and everybody, and I know it's hard to lose a loved one, even with God, but we've always got God that we can rely on to get us through it. And now here I am down there with the family, and a family member that's died, everybody upset, nobody knows God, what do you tell them to do? I don't know what to tell them except just get through it best you can. Isn't it great in those kind of times to have the help of God that you know is with you? Isn't it great when you can say, this is my God, and together we're going to get through it. My God, and together we're going to get through it. What everybody needs, isn't it? Back 1 John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is in heaven. He's up there and got a place prepared for His children. He's got a place prepared for the believers, and there's always already a place prepared for the unbelievers too. It's called hell. And I preach heaven and hell both ways because that's what the Scripture calls for. But I thought about these things, and Jesus tell them, I've got you. I've got you back no matter what happens in this life, no matter how hard it seems. I've got a place for you that there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sadness, there'll be nobody upset and mad at you. It'll be a place of beauty and wonderful and love. And that's what Jesus has got. In verse 4, and he said, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So here we go. Thomas said unto him, now this is called doubting Thomas. Thomas said unto him, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, pretty good question out of Thomas. He said, I don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? We don't know where you're at. How can we know the way? still stands pretty true today. If you don't know where Jesus is at today, how can you know the way? He's at the right hand of the Father. Yes, that's where he's at. In verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Jesus set that straight real quick. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, you're not going that way. And so he told Peter, Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to go by Jesus. Not Sister Mary. Praise God, you ain't going to pray through. You ain't going to live good enough. I can tell you all these things according to the Word of God. You're going to go by Jesus. Because His blood shed on the cross of Calvary. Not your blood, His blood shed on the cross. Because He paid for this. That's where it's at. Jesus. That's it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that's the gospel in a nutshell. That's what you have to know and understand. You're going to get to heaven. In St. John chapter 6, verse 44, it's pretty plain. It said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I like this. No man can come to Jesus unless the Father which sent him draw him. All these people tell me one of these days I'm going to get saved. Oh, when I get done sowing my wild oats and get done trying to drink everything dry and all these other things, I might get saved. Those people are bound for hell. They're not going to get saved until the Lord Jesus touches their heart and soul and draws them by that power of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that power of the Holy Ghost is here this morning, that it would draw somebody to Jesus Christ. That they could be drawn down here, that they could repent of their sin. They could receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and come away shouting glory. Hallelujah. Get up out of the ruts, out of the road, and get up on the glory land road, and be strolling down the highway hand in hand with Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm ready to sing a song. Your turn. Where are you at this morning? You got God and your troubles? I feel sorry for you if you don't. You want Him to get a little more involved in your trouble? You know how you do that? You know how to get God more involved in your trouble? Let Him. That's as simple as I can tell it. Just let Him. Turn loose some of it yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to let You carry that load. I've got more than I can handle right now. Just help me out. What a God. That's what we're asking for. Go ahead, David. Just a minute. I tell you, everybody.